Amen. Take your Bibles and enter in Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7 this evening. And wanted to share some blessings. You know, there are times in the ministry that, you know, that aren't so blessed. You know, the things that you have to do and take care of that are not as exciting. But today, after the baptismal service, had a gentleman come up to me and said, "Pastor, I need to talk to you." I said, "Absolutely." So go upstairs to my office, sit down, shut the door. And he tells me, "Pastor, I'm ready to get saved." Amen. That's exciting. I tell you what, when you're a pastor, that doesn't happen very often. Very excited about that. And then bowed his head and accepted Christ as his Savior. So that's very exciting. And as Christians, we are seeing so many wonderful things happen in our church. Seeing people saved. Seeing lives change. Seeing people get baptized and follow the Lord. And that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. That's exactly what God's plan is, to go into all the world and preach the gospel at every creature, Mark 16:15. And to also, we know the Great Commission in Matthew 28, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And that's exactly what we're doing here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. But is there something that can happen to a church? Is there something that can happen to a group of people, that can happen to a generation of people even? And the answer is yes, something can happen that the power of God can be diminished. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going on right now, but we need a reminder, because if we look around, we see churches all over the place. You go to this town and you have churches everywhere. You have churches of every different type, mostly non-denominational, or you have the Methodist Church or the Presbyterian Church, or we see different churches out there. And all of them, they profess to have the truth. They profess to follow the Word of God. Many of them do not. And they have no power of God upon them. They maybe have programs. Maybe they have things going on in the community, but they have not God's power. They do not see people genuinely converted. They do not see people's lives changed, maybe reformed. There's a difference between a changed life done in the heart by God and a reformed life. Anybody can reform. Anybody can change their behavior, but only God can change a heart. And so how do we have this place of power? How do we keep ourselves in that place? And in Joshua chapter 7, as we turn there, now Joshua chapter 7, this is right after Israel had come into the promised land. This is, they had come there and they had seen God give great victories, and they had seen God stop the Jordan River, and they had walked across on dry ground. They had come to the city of Jericho. They had come, and Joshua had come before God, and the captain of the host of the Lord appeared unto him and told him exactly what he must do. And they followed God's directions exactly. And on the seventh day, they marched around Jericho. And then they blew their trumpets. And they, with a mighty shout, the walls fell flat. And they took that great city, which would have been impossible for them to do on their own. They had the power of God upon their lives and upon what they were doing. But then we get to Joshua chapter 7. And then we see the defeat by Ai. So they go up into Ai. Now Ai was considered a very small kingdom and was considered a very small thing. And so Joshua went up and sent the soldiers there, and then they were very soundly defeated. And the power of God was no longer there. And we're going to see here in Joshua chapter 7 why. It was because of a man named Achan. That God had commanded the Israelites that they should not take anything for themselves from Jericho. That they should not take any animals, they should not take any gold or silver, but that was for the Lord. But Achan, he saw a Babylonian garment and a wedge of gold, and he kept it, and he dug in the ground, he hid it under his tent. And because of Achan's sin and disobedience to God, the power of God was taken away from Israel. And they were defeated. And that's what brings us to Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 12. If we could all stand out of respect for the ring of the Word of God. Joshua chapter 7, verse number 12. And this is the word of the Lord to Joshua. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for tonight. I pray that you will bless this message, Lord, as you've laid it upon my heart. I pray that you guide and direct us and help us, Lord, as we seek you and seek your power and seek your will. And Lord, we're here to serve you. We're so thankful for the servant's heart of so many here tonight and the great things that you are showing yourself strong in many areas, seeing young people and adults and teens saved and getting baptized and seeing lives change, dear Lord. I pray that we will continue to see growth and that we will continue to see you work. I pray that you bless and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And a message entitled, The Powerless Generation. A powerless generation. What is wrong with churches in America? What is wrong with a generation of Christians? Not all of them, by the way. Now, be very careful. I'm not saying everyone or being all-inclusive here. But I think we would see, and I think we would all admit, that we have seen a decline in the power of God and the working of God in churches in America. We have seen that. Now, we know of places where God is working. We see that God is working here. My wife and I were talking. It's exciting to be here at Fort Hood in Killeen, Texas. You know why? Because we have seen almost 20 people get saved in the last month. Most churches in America don't see that many saved in a year in church. I've been up to big churches and preached in large churches, and I tell them how many people get saved and how many people that we see get baptized and see their lives change, and they're in the church and just transforming, and said, wow, I wish we could see that. But why don't we see it? Is it because we're something special? No, because God is all-powerful, and we give God the glory for it. But in many churches, there are accursed things among them. And the same thing can happen here. We can have an accursed thing among us, just like Israel did, that Achan took and hid it. No one knew about it. No one saw what Achan did except God. That's very important to remember. God sees all and knows all. And we have to be careful that we keep ourselves in a place where we can have God's power upon us. But one of the things that we see, number one tonight, if you're taking notes, what do we see in America today? We see powerlessness in the pulpit. See, powerlessness in the pulpit. That we have a day where preachers are afraid to preach the whole counsel of God. They're afraid to teach God's word. They're afraid to speak every word that God says. They're ashamed of parts of it. They say, well, Pastor, you understand. We have to be sensitive to the culture we live in. We've got to be sensitive to where people are at. We have to be sensitive to what's going on. We don't want to offend anybody. You know what? I know Jesus Christ didn't had start out to offend anybody, but guess what? He offended a whole lot of people. Why? Because he simply spoke the truth. And we're going to offend some people in the process, not because we're trying to be offensive, but that they're offended at the truth of God. Remember, they're not being offended at us. They're being offended at Christ. Look at Hebrews 13 and verse number 9. And there are some things we must be wary of. And maybe there are some of you that throughout your life, you're going to be maybe sent somewhere else, get married, go somewhere else in the country, and there's going to be a church time that you're going to have to pick out a church, and that you're going to have to find what God's will is for that. But guess what? There's some things we need to be careful of, and that the God's word warns us about. Hebrews 13, verse number 9, be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines. You know what? We need to be careful in churches. Now, let's read the rest of it here. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied thereon. So here we say that we do not need to be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. And there's a lot of weird ones out there. You know, I mentioned this morning in Sunday school, if you go on YouTube and you look at Bible, you know, beliefs in God, I mean, you name it, you're going to find it. You're going to find all kinds of strange things out there that are not the truth. They're not based on the Bible. Maybe people try and make them based on the Bible, but I guess what? I would say YouTube is not a very reliable place to go and get your Bible doctrine from. Okay, but that's how our society is, that they get a lot of information from these different places, social media. Guess what? We don't form our doctrines according to the opinions of Facebook. Amen? We don't form our opinions based on the opinions of blogs or anything else. Do they have those things have their place? Absolutely. But at the same time, so many people, they read something that someone said on a Facebook comment or a post and say, wow, I never knew that about the Bible. Did you go to the Bible to see if it's even true? We have to be careful. And we can be carried about with diverse types of and strange doctrines. Well, how does that happen? And there's even preachers that they get in there and they preach things that are not according to the Word of God, either diminishing parts of God's Word, taking away from God's Word, or they add to it. You know, we see in the end of Revelation there, we see a very important warning not to add to or take away from the Word of God, and that there is a heavy penalty for that. And that God's word is established forever. And as a preacher, God's man, if he is God's man, he is going to preach God's word. I think that's a pretty simple logic there. That if he is God's man, and he loves the Lord, and he loves the word of God, is he going to get up there, and is he going to preach the whole counsel of God? He should. He should. But we need to be careful of these different types of doctrines. And there's all kinds of ones out there. There's the doctrine of Calvinism. That God has predestinated certain people to heaven and certain people to hell. I'm sorry, you can't read the Bible and get that out of it. You have to redefine things to get that. You have to redefine what all these different things are. You have to be careful. Like Brother Schock was saying about Seventh-day Adventists. Guess what? They have to redefine some things. And what they believe is not found in the Word of God, but is by special revelation. Ever notice that? By the way, if you're ever in a church, and then they say, yes, well, so-and-so over here has special revelation, and this is what God told them, you better get out of that church faster than you can run. Because guess what? God's Word is complete. The revelation is complete. There's no extra biblical revelation anymore. Amen? And we better run from that. That is not godly. But right here, we got to be careful of diverse doctrines. And now there's the one of lordship salvation. Got to be careful of that. And that, by the way, repentance is not lordship salvation, by the way. People say that. So, oh, you're just lordship salvation people. Meaning that you have to get your life right and make Christ first, and then you get saved. That's not how it works, because we can make the outside look good as much as we want, but Christ has to change the inside. Christ has to change the heart. Put a new heart in us. But at the same time, when people get saved, they do have to turn from their sin. Amen? You can't say, well, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, but I'm going to heaven now. Then no, that's not it. That people call that fire insurance salvation. That's not biblical. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 8. What do we see in America today? What do we see in different places around the world? What do we see in denominations that used to preach the Word of God? The Methodists used to teach God's Word. The Presbyterians, some of them, they used to preach God's Word. Some of the most famous fundamentalists from early on, they were not Baptists. They were Presbyterians, some Methodists. Some, very few of them Anglican. I don't think many of them are. But we see Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 8. But now all these things are completely apostate. How did we go from preaching God's Word? And I mentioned this several weeks ago, that when Timothy was born, it was down in Austin, right down there on the right near the Capitol, right near the central part of downtown, right near University of Texas. And going right by, on one side, there is the University Baptist Church, which is a Southern Baptist church. But then on the left side, a little further up, going down, and then you see it is the United Methodist Church. And as I was going down, I saw many different color, like wood doors, like doors you see in a house, and all painted different colors. And they were painting all these different colors. And you know what? As I went down, I said, oh, that's interesting decoration. And when I saw that, but then I began to realize that the colors that I was seeing were the same colors and the same pattern of the sodomite flag. And underneath were words. I don't remember the exact words. There was something to this deformity that said, we will not conform or we rebel. Something to that effect. And what they were saying is that they were in favor of sodomite marriage in church. And I didn't know if you know right now that actually the United Methodists are getting ready to split over that very issue. That some believe it is not right, some believe it's okay. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's an abomination to God. Amen. Why is this even a debate? Why are they even considering that? Well, maybe we should split from them because they don't believe right. Oh, it's false doctrine. It's false. And these denominations are powerless because they've departed from God. They have taken up into their ranks the accursed thing. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 8, the priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. Imagine that. They handled the law. They knew, didn't even know God, but they knew they were handling God's law. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. So this is Jeremiah. So this is to the backslidden here, in that they were doing the offices of the scribe, they were doing the office of the priest, and there were pastors that were the preachers and teachers of the law in the temple and in the synagogues, and they weren't even saved. They didn't even know God. You know how many pastors that stand up in pulpits today? They're not even saved. They don't even know God. They learned their theology at a seminary somewhere. They didn't learn it from the Bible. They learned it from some conference somewhere. They didn't learn it from the Bible. If you say, show me from the Bible, they can't do it. What's the way of salvation? Well, we're all really saved. Oh, church right here in our town, we're all really saved. You just have to realize it. Universalism. You know, there's really no account. Well, actually, I was talking, I mentioned this earlier this morning. And, you know, Michael and I, the first time we're going out door knocking. First door. You know when you go and knock on doors and you get a live one? We got a live one. And so I knocked on the door there, and a lady answered the door. She's really nice. It was pretty polite, but she went on. I'm not going to go at everything she said, but essentially this, that, well, there's many ways to heaven. The Muslims are going to heaven, and the Hindus are going to heaven, and even the great American Indians, they're going to heaven. They worship the Great Spirit, so, you know, it's all really the same thing, right? You know, because that's the truth that they had, and then I tried to share with her Romans chapter 1, saying they're without excuse. I was trying to throw things in there and everything, and you know what? She looked at me and said, well, you need to get in your Bible. You need to do some schooling. Get schooled a little bit because you don't understand. And that's the sad part of it. You know, the sad part of it is she didn't understand. And one day she'll stand before God and say, why did you reject my word? She had read the Bible. She said, I've read it through several times. And I'm thinking, if you read it through several times, how did you get what you got out of it? But if man already has the accursed thing in their life and they believe what they want to believe, they'll make the Bible say what they want it to say. You have to be careful of that. We need power in the pulpit again. We need people that are saved, people that are dedicated to God's word. Look at Matthew 24, verse 11. Matthew 24, verse 11. Powerlessness in the pulpit. Matthew 24, 11. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. There's a lot of false prophets out there. There's a false prophet down in Houston by the name of Joel Osteen. He's a pastor. We mean he's a false prophet. He doesn't preach God's word. He doesn't preach God's way of salvation. His way is false. There's lots of others. You go, a lot of televangelists that they're false prophets. Pat Robertson is a false prophet. It's amazing. You know, 700 Club, you know, he has all kinds of weird charismatic ideas, but you know what? That he is a Christian person, a Christian leader, and he says abortion's okay. Just said that this past week. Abortion's okay. We're in trouble in America. We need to get back to God's word. The pulpits of America have lost their power. The preachers are weak-kneed, and popularity and non-offense are the orders of the day. In college I went to, we were taught not to offend in preaching class. I'll never forget a teacher getting up there. I'm not going to say his name. Some of you might know him. But he got up there, and we were teaching. I have to pull out my notes and remember this, but I remember him saying this, that, you know, if there is a topic that you're going to preach on that might offend someone in the church or offend someone where you're going to be at, maybe you should pray about whether you should preach it or not. And I said, and guess what? I wasn't brought up that way. The truth is the truth. It doesn't matter if someone gets offended or not, because as long as you're giving it in love and giving it in the right way, amen, that's what we're to give, the truth in love. But that if they won't take the truth and are offended at it, they're not offended at you, they're offended at my Lord, and they're offended at God's word, the Bible. But that's being taught popularity and non-offense. You know, we're, as Christians, we're not to be an offense. I agree with that. Should we go after? Now, there's some people that take it the other side of things, and they just go and they be offensive just to be offensive. You know, they get up and preach and say all kinds of things, and just to be offensive, they just say it. They just want to get people mad at them. That's not right either. But at the same time, God's message has never been popular. Telling men that they're sinners has never been popular. Telling people that there is a real accountability to God has never been popular, never will be. But there are people who are seeking for the truth, and we need to speak to those people. Because some churches today, that they, like the West Coast and the Paul Chapel crowd, yes, they preach God's word, but they leave certain parts of it out because they don't want to offend. You know why? Because they would lose a number of people in their churches. They wouldn't have the big church, and they wouldn't have the they wouldn't have the reach. You know what? I would rather have a fewer number of people. I'd rather have 50 people that really believed and took the word of God than 200 people that would get offended if I preached a message that was from God's word. That's what we need to have. We need to see people that have genuine desire for God. Popularity and non-offense are not the orders of the day. Loyalty to Christ. You know, we looked at Stephen this morning in Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7. Guess what? That was not a non-offense and popular message that he was preaching, but it was the truth. And he wasn't being inflammatory. He wasn't being controversial. He was just teaching them the truth, exactly what God had told them. But they're the ones that rejected it. So number one, powerlessness in the pulpit. Number two, powerlessness in disciplines. Disciplines. There is an astonishing lack of Bible knowledge today in churches. That kids that come up through Sunday school, they come up through children's church, they come up through the youth group, and you talk to them and you ask them some questions about the Bible. It's astonishing what they don't know at times. It's astonishing. They grew up in a Christian home, went to the Christian school even. I'll never forget this when I worked up one in Indiana, and some of these kids have been brought up even in pastor's home or in full-time worker's home and asked them some Bible questions. They had not a clue. Guess what? If we don't know the Bible, we're not going to have the power of God. Once again, going back this morning with Stephen, he knew God's word. Guess what? He preached that entire message entirely from memory. He knew God's word inside out and backwards, and he preached that message and the power of the Holy Spirit completely from memory. Guess what? He didn't have a Torah to hold in front of him and read from. He just gave exactly what God said. We have a lack of Bible study, a lack of authority in Bible application. We study our Bible, but we don't apply what we learn. We need to apply it and live by it. Lack of Bible memorization. That is why we see so many people overcome with sin, because Jesus overcame the devil's power with the Word of God. And we need the Word of God to overcome sin and temptation in our life. And this is where the power disconnect is. Look at Jeremiah 23 and verse 29. Jeremiah 23 and verse number 29. Like this evening, Brother Hammond just had verse after verse coming up this evening during the song time there. And I don't know, Brother Hammonds. Anybody that says Mrs. Hammonds can't cook, those are fighting words right there. Anyway, Jeremiah 23:29. So who is the best cook? My wife is the best cook in all the world. Amen. Husbands, by the way, that's the right answer. That's right, Brother Hammonds. That's exactly right. Your wife is the best cook in all the world. Better than your mother. That's right. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Guess what? A hammer that can break a rock is pretty powerful. Think of a jackhammer. You know, something that, humanly speaking, we can't go and break a rock with our fist. If you went and did that, you're going to be in a world of hurt. You're going to be hurting. You know, maybe you go find a rock, you crack it, and then, you know, you try and impress your friends. You stage it, then you hit it. Oh, look, I broke a rock. No, but we can't do that. But God's word has the power to break through what we can't break through. God's word is what breaks through a stony heart. It's God's word that convicts of sin. Guess what? When Stephen was preaching to the Sanhedrin, they were cut to the heart. It wasn't his words, it was the words of God. That's what convicts of sin. And guess what? That's why when we go soul winning, we better be using our Bible and not our opinions, because it's not our words that convict of sin. It is God's Word that convicts of sin. And that God's Word brings the power of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. People get saved by the Word of God. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The heart reader is God's Word. If you want to know what you're thinking and you're feeling, read God's Word. You want to know why you're doing something? God's Word has the answer. I was talking to someone this week, and said they weren't sure that they were saved, but they wanted to read it in God's Word for themselves. So I said, okay, you go read it. Read this passage, this passage, this passage. Guess what? They got saved as a result. Not because I said something, but because they read the Word of God, they understood it, and they got saved. Amen. That is the best kind, that they go to God's Word and they get saved. So we see powerlessness in the pulpit, powerlessness in disciplines. Number three, powerlessness against sin. You wonder why sin is running rampant in our country. Because there is no power to resist sin. Because people are ceasing to live a biblical life. First of all, there are many that are not saved, but those that are, they don't live biblically. They don't live according to the tenets of God. They don't live a life that is free from the accursed thing, like Achan had that in his life. Guess what? Achan died and his family died as a result of that. Sin is not a small thing. We say, well, it's not a big deal, Pastor. You know, this thing is in my life, but it's not really a big deal. Guess what? It is we as human beings, as mankind, that makes light of sin. God never makes light of sin. Amen? Sin is a serious thing in that we see powerlessness against sin. And we wonder why sin is running rampant in our country. We wonder why sin is running rampant in our churches. Why people are being overcome so easily by sin. Because the church they're in has no power. And they prevent the power of God in their life. Because they refuse to go to God's Word. They refuse to go to God. That church is a social club. Church is just one of those things that you do. It's a good thing to do, but it's not something that is essential. We see churches that are powerless, we wonder why churches that they're stopping their Sunday night services and their Wednesday night services. They said, you know what? Why are we meeting together when we could be just sitting at home resting? Isn't Sunday a day of rest? You know, why aren't we just at home sitting back on the couch and doing whatever we feel like doing? And a lot of churches are doing away with those things because, you know, it's a lot for people to come to church on Sunday morning. And you know what? It's a lot. You know what? We have to understand something. That mindset is dangerous. That mindset tells you something. You know what that mindset says? You know what? God is only as important to me to spend 1 hour on Sunday morning, and I don't need to spend any more time on God. What it's saying is, it's what's comfortable for us is what's most important. Look at Isaiah 63, verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments and Bozrah, that is glorious and his apparel traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteous mighty to say. Wait a minute. Don't think that's the right one. Yes, verse 11. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? That led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name. That led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble. As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Guess what? Israel had the power of God. That God's power was with them. But as they came from their judgment in the wilderness for 40 years, they came into the land of Israel. They came into the promised land, the land that was promised to Abraham. And they were excited. They had zeal. They were worshiping God. They were doing right. But, you know, we look at this and say, Pastor, Doesn't it seem not fair that Achan's one little sin caused everyone else to have problems? That doesn't seem very fair. Fair to who? God is perfect and holy in all of his judgments. God always does that which is right. And you know what? There can be churches, there's churches in America that are powerless because of someone sitting in the pew. The pastor is preaching the right thing and doing the right thing. Everybody else is doing something. But why isn't God blessing? Because of someone's secret sin. Just like Achan. Whether it's the sin of stealing, or it's the sin of lusting, or the sin of something in the heart, we don't know. But guess what? God's plan and power can be derailed because of one person's sin. It's a very serious thing. We need to have holiness in God's house. Have holiness of mind and of heart. And this is why we see a powerless generation. We see a powerless generation that has turned away from God. I was talking with Brother Florence. He's a little older than I am. He's 35. But, you know, it's from the college that we come from. We kind of were talking about things. I was out there working on my car, and we were just kind of hanging out, and I was working on my car, and we were talking. And, you know, you just kind of have to, you kind of tiptoe around a little bit until you figure out where people are at. You know how you do that sometimes? Just kind of like, okay, I don't want to just start a big argument by something I say. And then we were just kind of talking about things. You know, we found out that actually we were similar. You know, we were, because of the college we came from, guess what? Our positions are not popular with people that we know, went to school with. Our positions are we're considered extremists. I have people that really won't talk to me anymore because of where I stand. You weren't like that in college. No, I wasn't. Praise God, I'm different now. I learned. I got into God's Word and learned. But just talking about this, and we began to talk, and I said, why don't people believe the Bible? He said, I don't know. He said, I don't know. He said, there's a lack of teaching of it, but, you know, if you really just get into what God's Word says, all these controversies over standards and appearance and all these other things, all these controversies, he goes, they're really not controversies if you just take God's word for what it says. It's we who make it controversial. And that's right, we do. We're the one that we try and explain it away. And we wonder why we see powerlessness. And I asked him, so what is the biggest change that you've seen in America? You know, you've been gone for 5 years, now you've been through deputation, now you're going back to visit again. What do you see? He goes, I said, of course there's a change in America. Every culture is going downhill. So the big change I've seen has been in churches. He goes, there's a lot of churches that don't have soul winning anymore. He says, there is a big change in 5 years, being in a different country, coming back to the United States. He goes, there is a big change in the last 5 years in churches, even independent Baptist churches. Why? And it's not a good change. It's going down. Why? They're getting away from this right here. This is the power of God. Right here. This is the source of our power. Let's live by it. Let's love it. Let's memorize it. And let's wield it. So, well, Pastor, it's my guidebook for life, but also, do you realize in all of the armor of God, this is the only offensive weapon we have? And it's enough. Amen? It's enough. We don't need anything else. This is it. But do we wield it? Well, Pastor, you know, if I did that, then people would call me a Bible thumper. That's a compliment. Amen? That's a compliment. Why, you just live by the Bible. Praise God. I want to be known for that. I want to be known as a biblicist. Or if we say, well, you know, there's other ways to live. Oh, low power. You're denying the power of God. So what will we do? Will we steel ourselves against these things? Shall we get to God's word? Shall we come to the place and learn the lesson of Israel, learn the lesson of Achan, not to let the accursed thing in our lives, in our homes, in our church, so that we can still continue to see God work? God is working in our church, but you know what the devil is trying to do? He is working so hard. Think of it like this. We have right up here, we have some electrical outlets right here, and that we're plugged into the power of God right here, but you know what? The devil is standing over here pulling on the extension cord, trying his hardest to pull it out. I want it out of there. I don't like it. They're invading my territory. Praise God. But guess what? The devil doesn't like it. He's going to try each and every person to try and bring the accursed thing into your life. He's going to try. He's going to try it in my life. He's going to try it in your life. He's going to try and tempt you to do it. Hey, you know what? We can get to the place where, well, we've done enough. Oh, apathy is the worst one of them all. It's so sly. It's so slow. And so, you know what? We've worked hard. You know, one of the biggest things we're going to have to fight against after VBS, you know, we put a lot of work in. And they say, oh, okay, we can coast through the rest of the summer. We don't have to work hard anymore. We did our big thing for the summer. We did our big thing for the year. It doesn't work that way. Need to keep going. Need to keep going. Need to keep going. And God will continue to work. Amen. Do you have the power of God? If you don't, you can find it tonight. If you do have it, guard against the wiles of the devil. He's going to come for you. He's going to try and disconnect you from God's power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I thank you for all that you do. I pray that you would bless us as we come to our invitation time. And Lord, if we're powerless, if we have been unplugged from your power, if we have denied the Bible, if we have denied your commands, if we have neglected our study, if we have neglected our stance, if we have allowed false doctrine, I don't know, Lord, if any of that is true tonight of anybody here. Lord, I know the devil wants to tempt and distract and diminish. And Lord, I pray that you'd keep us strong. Lord, you're using our church in a special way, and I pray that you continue to do it. And Lord, we are doing what you have commanded us to do. And I pray that you would bless and help us in a special way, that you would bless each life, bless each servant of yourself. We're so thankful for each and every one. Pray that you would bless a VBS meeting after the service tonight as we seek to work for you and sacrifice for you to see young people come to know you. And also, dear Lord, we pray that young people will be called to the mission field and be called to serve you full-time during this VBS, and that they would see your work around the world. I pray that you guide and help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.